So for November, December, January, do we come that far in February?
Yeah, through February. Yeah. I only get to miss like one more. That's it, man.
Do you guys have them in the summer too?
Nah, thank heavens. It's my main motivation. It keeps me going. Oh, yes. Just kidding. All right, we are on 2 Samuel chapter 9. About halfway through, we're about ready to start verse 8. Remember when David is now making provision for Mephibosheth, Saul's son, and was going to allow him to eat at his table. And so we're going to actually pick it up at verse 8, and we'll probably get through chapter 9 and into chapter 10. Again, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to ask. I'll stop at the end of each verse. We're about ready to start verse 8. So, yeah, on page 519. And so this is actually the subject of the verb you're going to see at the beginning here is Mephibosheth, okay, who is going to be responding to David's offer to eat at his table for the rest of his life. So, verse 8. Vayishtachu vayomer me avdeka ki fanita el hakelav hamet asher kamoni. And he bowed down. This is that famous hishtafel from Chava, the only hishtafel in the whole Bible from the root Chava. And it's third masculine singular, even though there's a vav there. It's kind of an apocopated or shortened form. So it's, and he bowed down, okay, namely Mephibosheth, vayomer, and he said, what is your servant? Me avdeka, what is your servant that panita, that you, and this means you favor him. Okay, it's more woodenly that you have turned to him. All right? And notice the what he's turning to follows. To hakelav, kelav is the word for dog. To the dog, the dead one. And what he means, he's referring to himself as a dead dog. So you would probably in English say that you have shown favor to this dead dog, referring to himself. Who is kamoni, like me? So notice he compares himself to nothing better than a dead dog. And remember, that's pretty worthless in that culture, you know. So he bowed down and he said, what is your servant that you show favor to the dead dog which is like me? Namely, that you have shown favor to me who is like a dead dog. Okay, notice that kamoni is just the preposition ke with the suffix. It takes that mo ending, kemo. So when you add the mo and then you add the suffix, whenever you see that, you know that that's what that is. Okay. Any questions about anything in verse 8? Yeah, Will.
Why is there a dogish in the last letter of that first word?
I think it's because it's an apocopated form. It's shortened. So sometimes you'll see it tish tachavu. So you just don't have the extra vav there. And so, it's just written in that form. So there's basically no other reason for it.
Is that kind of similar with panim for face?
It comes from that root. Yeah, this is a call perfect second masculine singer from pana. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is a third hey verb from pana. So notice it's actually third hays or phony hays. It's a yud there. And so it's pe, nun, yud are the three root letters plus second masculine singular. And panim is a noun based on that. Lifne, before, face in the presence of. All those words, mipne, come from this root. Yeah.
Can I go in with Will's?
Yeah.
Ask about the baggage. That's a doubling, right?
Yeah, I think it indicates.
Sure.
Right. So, vayishtachav. Sorry, I suppose is how you would pronounce it. I think that's the best way to pronounce it. So, yeah, that's not a third plural, in other words, even though it looks like a third plural. All right, good. Any other questions? Verse 9. Vayikra hamelech el tziva na'ar Sha'ul vayomer elav kol asher haya le Sha'ul u lekol veto natati leven adoneka. Oh, this becomes important. This little incident here, by the way, becomes important later on in the story. So about four chapters on. So I want you to just remember Ziva. That's the name of the person he's talking to. So then the king called to Ziva, the Na'ar Sha'ul, Saul's servant, Na'ar. So the Na'ar of Saul. All right, so the king called to Ziva, the Na'ar, the servant of Saul, And he said to him, all which was to Saul, or all, we would say all which belonged to Saul, and to all his house, Natati, from Natan, I have given to the son of your master. Okay, Adonekah, notice, is plural, and it's, I think, almost always plural with suffixes. I can't be sure for that, but very commonly it is. And whether it may be just a plural of majesty, notice. So notice what the king is doing. He's putting the servant Ziva, he's telling Ziva that he's given everything to Saul. Okay? And now he's going to give Ziva further directions for the care of Mephibosheth. Okay? Any questions on any forms in verse 9? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Na'ar can be translated as boy or servant. Yeah, a lot of times it's the assistants. And I assume that it implies he's fairly young, all right? But he has kids in this case, so this is more servant. Doesn't have anything to do with the age of him. But a lot of times it's like a young boy, right? Okay, any other questions about forms? Okay, verse 10. Ve'adavta lo et haramata uvaneka va'avadika ve'heveta v'haya leven adoneka lechem va'akalo u'mephibosheth ben adoneka yokol tamid lechem al shulchani u'laziva chamesha asar banim ve'esrim avadim. That's a long verse. Okay. Vav plus perfect. And you shall work. Now notice the direct object is et adama. So, and you shall work for him the land. And we would still say that in English. You'll work the land for him. So namely, he's talking about farming. We might even say, and you will farm the land for him. Okay? That's just from avad, perfect, second masculine, singular. Okay, so you will work for him the land. Ata, you, and your sons, and Avadeka, your servants. So notice that Ziva himself, a servant, also had servants. Okay?
Do you possibly think that he could have been freed from his obligations after
maybe
Saul's death? And now
could be. But, you know, remember that servants had certain rights as well, and even if there were no children, rights of inheritance or something like that, you know. So obviously, this is reflecting a certain hierarchy in the culture and kind of a certain way things are done. So to Ziva, the faithful servant of Saul, he's not just left out in the cold, so to speak. So notice that he gets to work the land and his sons and his servants. Now, vehevita. What's the root of vehevita? Bow. And it's what conjugation? A hifil perfect. All right? So in the call it means to go. So in the hifil it means to bring, right? So intransitive in call becomes transitive, active transitive in the hifil. So you will work for him the land, you and your sons and your servants, and you will bring, namely, the crop in. Okay, there's no object here because it has to be understood from the context. You will, you know, bring in the harvest, bring in the crop, okay? And now notice how the next line kind of clarifies. And it will be for the son of your master, lechem, food. And it will be food for the son of your master. And what it means here, notice what comes next is a little confusing. But some translate this, the master referring to Mephibosheth, so referring to the grandson. So it will be to the grandson. But it could also be, notice that there's some readings, Septuagint has the house of your master, okay, which makes sense as well, all right? So anyway, as we translate in the Masoretic text, it will be for the son of your master food. It will be lechem for the son of your master. Va'akalo, and he will eat it. Okay, can everyone see this form, akalo?
Yeah.
It's a call, perfect, third masculine singular plus third masculine singular suffix. The pointing under that, notice, follows what you would expect when the accent moves to the end. The comets under the aleph has reduced to a hatef patach. And he will eat it. All right? So it will be to the son of your master food, and he will eat it. Okay? But Mephibosheth, the son of your master, will eat continually food at the shulchani, at my table. Shulchan plus suffix. All right? And, okay, so everybody get it so far? Notice there's a major stop there. So you will work for him the land, you and your sons and your servants, and you will bring, namely bringing the crop, and it will belong to or be to the son of your master as food, and he will eat it. And Mephibosheth, the son of your master, will eat continually, will always eat food at my table. Okay? Now here's a little extra information. And to Ziva were Hamisha Asar, 5:10, were 15 sons, and Esrim, 20 servants. So you get that little information at the end. Okay? So it's kind of a long verse trying to structure how Saul's property is going to be divided, who's it's going to go to, what's supposed to happen. Will.
So is Mephibosheth, is he going to eat from his servant or from David's table?
Well, see, that's why the Septuagint has that difference, because it seems as if Mephibosheth is to be in distinction from the preceding. But Mephibosheth is always called the son of your master, see? So that's why the Septuagint has, it will belong to the house of your master for food. So in other words, Mephibosheth's relatives are going to partake of the crop, while Mephibosheth himself eats at the king's table. That's what seems to be the case here. All right. And that's why I suggested that Leven Adoneka, there's something going on. Some suggest that it refers to the grandson. It will be for your grandson as food. But Mephibosheth, the king, will eat at the table. Others, I like the Septuagint reading, it'll be for the house.
Right, because they use Ben Adoneka, the next line.
For Mephibosheth. Yeah. That's why it's a little confusing there. And remember, we've had these kind of textual issues in 2 Samuel before. It's kind of sometimes it's not clear what's going on. Yeah, good. All right. Verse 11 then. Vayomer Ziva el Hamelech, kekol asher yetzaveh Adoni Hamelech et avdo, ken yaseh avdeka, umefibosheth okel al shulchani, keachad mibnei Hamelech. Then Ziva said to the king, according to all which my lord commands the king, Yetzaveh is a PL from Zava, according to all which my lord the king commands his servant. So notice Ziva is referring to himself in the third person. It's being very deferential. According to all which my lord the king commands his servant, thus your servant will do. Notice the switch from second to third person. And so he's Yahweh's servant and he's David's servant. All right, so he doesn't refer to himself. He doesn't say, everything which you have commanded me, I will do. He says, everything which my lord, the king, commands his servant. So notice he refers to both David and himself by their offices. He's the king. He's the servant. See what's going on here? It's really interesting. Thus your servant will do. Okay? And Mephibosheth, here's a participle, will eat upon my table as one from of the sons of the king. Okay. Now notice it should be his table, and again yuds and vavs are often confused, but that's what you got in Samuel anyway. So nothing really difficult here as far as the grammar or the meaning of the words is concerned. Okay.
Why should that be a if table?
Well, notice that he's not going to eat at Ziva's table. He's going to eat at the king's table. Okay? So, notice that the text, 11b, has actually makes sense. And Mephibosheth will eat at, and then C, his table, David's table. Okay? And some suggest you translate as pass. And so Mephibosheth ate at his table as one of the sons of the king. Because that would go in with, it's just a little kind of wrap up there.
Both being
Yeah, they try to, right, see. Because they notice a tension in the way the persons are referred to in the Masoretic text. And again, remember, vavs and yuds, when you're writing the text, seem to be confused a lot with the he and the who, for example, and the pronouns. Happens quite frequently.
Do you see that textual note for call?
Yes.
What does that mean, two MSS?
Two manuscripts plus the Vulgate. So two Hebrew manuscripts plus the Vulgate have it as an imperfect. They don't list what they are. If you look in the front of BHS, it will tell you that they refer to some listed in Kennicott or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But in the front, if you're interested, it'll direct you to where those manuscripts are. At least give you some information about it. Yeah, I mean, it's probably, yeah, referring to two kind of maybe medieval manuscripts or something like that. That's kind of interesting. All right, verse 12. Ve limefibosheth ben katanu shemo mika, ve kol moshav beit ziva avadim limefibosheth. Okay, now to Mephibosheth, there was a son, a katon, a young son, Ushimo, and his name was Mika. And all the Moshav of the house of Ziva were servants. So notice, Moshav here seems to referring to the people in the house. Yeah, the dwell. See, notice it means dwelling or seat. But here, in English, you'd have to translate, all those living in the house of Ziva were servants to Mephibosheth. See, the Moshav, the dwellings. Usually it means the seat or dwelling, but here it refers to people. Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay. Mephibosheth yoshev birushalayim ki al shulchan hamelech tamid hu okel vehu piseach shtei raglav. Now, here's a wrap-up. And so Mephibosheth yoshev, participle, notice, call participle. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. It's kind of interesting how through this section you get a lot of participles, and we translate them with finite verbs because they're kind of unmarked. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for at the table of the king always he, here's another participle, he always ate. Okay? And he, Piseach, was lame. Piseach is an adjective, means lame. And he was lame in shtei raglav, in his two feet. Remember, shtei is the construct of the number, and you can have the construct form, you can have the absolute form. There's just different ways to write the numbers. So he was lame in his two feet, which we already knew. And remember, this happened in 2 Samuel 4 when he heard about the death of his dad and Saul. The nurse in her haste dropped him, and he became lame in his two feet. And so here we see him again. And these two will come up again later in the story. Ziva and Mephibosheth will come up in about 4 or 5 chapters. All right, so that's why they're, you know, you have this chapter kind of, it's kind of interesting. Why in the world would you include this story in the narrative? Well, one thing, it shows David's propensity for forgiveness, shows kind of the kind of king he was. See, so notice that the narrator is making an implicit statement about the mishpat and zedekah and chesed that David showed, and we had that reflected in chapter 8, remember, as he was setting up his kingdom. Those were qualities that are exemplified in this story. But also, when you see this as a reader, you should be clued in, you know what, I bet these are going to come up again. Because a lot of times, remember, the narrative will introduce someone and something, and then maybe leave them for a while, and then come back. So you have Mephibosheth before, here you have him again, and you're going to get it again. Okay, it's kind of interesting how it goes. So we can anticipate it. All right, any questions through chapter 9? All right, we got time to at least start chapter 10. It's kind of interesting here. Yeah, this is a kind of interesting story. You see another side of David. Vayehi acharei Kain, vayamat melech b'nei Amon, vayimlok chanun b'no tachtav. Okay, now it came to pass, vayehi, after this, acharei Kain. Okay, here's a temporal kind of anchoring of this story. So it came to pass after this, comma, vayamat melech, that the king of the Ammonite people, the Bnei Ammon, the literally sons of Ammonites, but we'd say that the king of the Ammonites died. Vayamat is from what root?
Moot.
Very good. Call imperfect vav consecutive. So it came to pass after this that the king of the Ammonites died. Vayimlok Chanun, and Chanun, his son, Yimlok, reigned in his place after him. You will see Chanun. Notice the root of Chanun. Just okay. What's the root of Chanun? Yeah, Chanan, to be gracious. It becomes, you will see, rather ironic given what happens. So his name is Gracious. You'd think he'd be gracious. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now notice how that becomes a theme word, because notice what David wants to do, as we saw in verse 8, in chapter 8. This is how he is. Vayomer David, Eseh Chesed im Chanun ben Nachash, Kaasher Asa. Aviv imadi chesed, vayishlak David lenachamo beyad avadav el aviv, vayavou avde David eretz bnei Ammon. Then David said, "Eseh chesed, I will do chesed, favor," or we would probably say, "I will show kindness im Chanun, to Chanun, the son of Nachash." Kasher, just as Aviv, notice that that means his father, just as his father showed Imadi with me, kindness, chesed. All right? And so David sent, Vayishlach from Shalach. So David sent, and now know what you understand here is David sent condolences or something like that. Let Nachamo, in order to comfort him. Notice that this is an infinitive construct, call from Cham, to comfort him, okay? Or it's a PL, infinitive construct from Nacham. In order to comfort him, by the hand of his servants to his father. Okay? So David sent condolences, all right, in order to comfort him by the hand of the servants, not to his father, but concerning his father. El means concerning, okay? Over his father. And the servants of David, Yavo, here's the call of Bo, and the servants of David came to the land of the Ammonites.
I have a question.
Yep.
At the beginning there,
yes.
Eshek, can that be taken as a volitional? Like, let
yes.
Be
yes, he could be expressing his wish. Yeah, something like, so you could translate, so you could understand, I will go, or something like, I want to go, or I wish to go. Or, and, you know, the let me is he's not really asking permission,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
So you could say he's deliberating, I should go. You know, I should show favor.
What he's saying is what you said.
Yeah.
I will show.
Yeah, he's, in other words, he's it's his this idea that he's had, and so it is expressing his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And how would we do that in English? I should go. You know, if you're deliberating with yourself, it's like, okay, this is what I should do. This is the proper thing to do. Okay? Good. We'll stop here and find out what happens, which is pretty interesting when we get to the next verse.
What about that expression, in the hand of the Yad? I know that's pretty common with Moses, too, the law in the hand of Moses.
Oh,
yeah. The best way to translate that is through, or
yeah, here we would say something like by the agency of his servants. So in other words, sometimes Yad, you can translate as power, by the power, but that wouldn't be good here. So it's kind of like the servants or the agents that are acting for the king. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Masoretic text has the participle here. Now, and so in order to put tense to it, you actually have to kind of figure out where it fits in the context, and what kind of statement it is. And so, let's see. Mephibosheth, you could translate a simple past. So Mephibosheth ate at his table. See, if you translate as past tense.
Yeah.
See, that Shulchani doesn't seem right to me. It seems like it has to be third person. Because it has to be referring to David's table. Because Ziva is the one talking. And that's where the difficulty is. But when you see a participle, notice that it can be imminent future, it can be present tense, it can be past, and it can be used in connection with perfects or imperfects. That's what you see it here.
Yeah.
You'd expect perfects in some of these places they have participles.
I mean, there's not only does it show the change to the verb, but also the change to the pronoun for whose table it actually is.
Yeah. So you have two kind of things going on there, the verb and the pronoun. So 2 Samuel is an example of a manuscript that is not that has some textual issues. So whether it's a dialectical, showing a lot of dialectical stuff, or it's the manuscript hasn't been translated or you know transcribed as carefully as it could be, so you have different things coming into it or not. It's hard to say. Some places, I think it's a mixture of both, really.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, see you, Mark. Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah.
Yep.